news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
And welcome to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantentertainmentmedia.com. Yeah, I'm back this week, guys. I'm sorry I missed you last week. Last week was a little tough. I had to go up to Connecticut to see my brother and my niece and nephew, my brother-in-law, obviously. Got back a little late, and when I did get back, you know, the wife and I were mired in a little bit of a battle that we had to resolve, so recording last weekend became a bit of an impossibility. I do apologize for that, and, well, I'm here now, and you're here now, and, well, the world just feels right, doesn't it? So, beautiful day here in New York today. I gotta be honest with you. Again, you guys, most of you guys already know. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. And I record on Saturday night for you guys, and you're hearing me for the first time on Monday. So it was like 80 degrees here in New York today. That was fantastic. Beautiful clear sky, a little bit of a breeze. It was just an all-out beautiful day. So, you know, I wake the wife up a little early. I said, come on, let's go attack this garage. She decides she has to go food shopping, which we did, you know, and she decided to handle that on her own. Wound up going to the supermarket, and somebody cuts her off. She had to hop a curb, shredded the tire. Good times. You know, because we need that, like we need a hole in the head. You know, if it's not one thing, it's always another. Thankfully, a buddy of mine was able to go out and help her out and change the tire for her, because we only have the one car and there was no way I can get to her. On top of that, I had cleaned out my garage, so I had basically everything that was in the garage in my driveway, so there was no way I was getting there anytime soon, no matter what happened. But beautiful day, man, and you know, kids were outside all day running around. And you know, it's one of those things with kids, you know, you expect them. You have them running all day. They're tired. They have to be tired. I mean, you get tired just watching them. Excuse me one second. You know, you get tired just watching them. And you know, I mean, literally, we were outside from 10 o'clock in the morning until about a little after 7 o'clock at night, you know. And, you know, I did the whole grilling thing, made some burgers, some sausage, you know, things like that, some corn on the cob. And it never fails. You know, we give the kids a bath. We're like, you know, they should be ready to sack out, man. They should be unconscious in minutes. No. No. It took them what felt like forever to fall asleep. I love kids. Well, I love my kids. I don't love all kids. Some kids are little brats and need to be corrected. But, you know, I love them to death, but at the same time, they're such a pain in the ass at times, you know? But, yeah, as far as the burgers are concerned, I know I'm making you guys a little hungry, and I decided to hand-make the burgers instead of using the patties, because, yeah, the patties are convenient sometimes, and, you know, but sometimes you just gotta get down and dirty and do it yourself. So, I decided to stuff the burgers, which I actually had the, that little stupid thing that they sell where you know, you put the patty in, you compress it, and then it makes the little bowl and all that nonsense. I couldn't find it, number one. So that made it difficult. Number two, I think I actually broke it. So maybe that's why I couldn't find it. But I went pretty simple, man. I just I stuffed a couple of burgers with just regular Tostitos salsa. And then I stuffed another couple of burgers with their salsa con... I'm sorry, what is it? The queso blanco salsa. The white cheese salsa, which is delicious, by the way. And my wife looks at me, she's like, oh, why would you do that? And I looked at her and I was like, you kidding me? I mean, you sat there and you told me how you want to put this stuff on everything. So I stuff a couple of burgers with it and all of a sudden now you're going to be like, ew, that's disgusting. You didn't even try it. So in the long run, all that matters is I was right. She tried it. She loved it. She thought it was great. And there's no greater compliment than you can get from a kid when they eat your burger. My son's very picky about burgers. Okay, it has to be just right for him. And I don't do anything terribly special. You know, I put a little barbecue sauce in there, which I think a lot of people actually do. You know, and I just grill them up, you know. Barbecue sauce and breadcrumb, that kind of nonsense. Nothing special. My son sat there, ate his burger, because, you know, it's what he told me he wanted. Ate his burger, and then sat there, looked at me, came back for a second one, and said, Daddy, this was the best burger ever. Well, you know, that makes a guy feel special. You know, I mean, the only way it would have felt more special to me is if, like, a professional chef would have said it, but, you know. And even then, maybe not. Just the fact that my son enjoyed the hell out of it was good enough for me. But, all right, so that's enough about me for now. Let's get into some topics. Again, oh, listen. I meant to tell you guys this. I've told you before about the More Like Radio MLR Live 3 event going on this Saturday. Moxie LaFemme. In Preservation Hall in Lakeland, Florida. All right. Going to be a great time. If you're in the Lakeland, Florida area, okay, head on over. They are teamed up with a Big Cat Rescue. So you make a donation to them. All proceeds from the event are going to be going to this Big Cat Rescue. And, you get to see a live burlesque show. And again, I mean, the women in there are absolutely beautiful. You'll enjoy that. Ladies, guys are handsome devils. You should be a little something for you to enjoy also. And you'll see More Like Radio's very own D from Dutch and Royce and occasionally Hippo Juice. So she's in there also. And you'll get to meet a lot of the hosts that are there. Royce will be there, Dutch, Marie, D, John and Sean from Hippo Juice and Dutch and Royce, Mitch and Sherry. Hammy's going down there. Those of you may remember him from Brain Stew. That's coming back. Joe Coletta is going to be down there doing some filming for his No Station Required, which thank you to everybody who did donate. He's going to be filming down there, getting some things done. As well as just, you know, plenty of, pretty much, well, let me not say everybody. There's going to be a lot of people from More Like Radio there, including Ashley from Antisocial Gamer Radio. He's hopping over the pond to come say hello. So if you're in the area, go check it out. If not, check your local listings because More Like Radio, probably going to be broadcasting from the event. I know they have in the past. I don't see why they wouldn't do it this time either. But, you know, of course I say that now. And you might find out I'm lying. There you go. If I am, I'm sorry. If not, you're welcome. How about them apples? So I want to start off with a story that really kind of pissed me off a little bit. This is coming from Fox News. Don't judge me. I don't follow Fox News, all right? I mean, it is what it is. I just happened to see this, the headline of the story, and it attracted me. Headline reads, suddenly I became Oriental. St. Louis Marathon winner stripped of title because she didn't run the race, officials say. So, let's see. This woman is Kendall Schler. She's 26 years old. She was the first woman to cross the finish line at a recent St. Louis Marathon, and she had her victory taken away from her after officials determined that she did not run the event. So, what they believe she did, and it hasn't been confirmed, at least at the time of this article being printed and this podcast being recorded, is she slipped onto the course after the last checkpoint in an attempt to trick the race officials into believing she ran the whole race. So, I mean, listen, I don't run marathons. I know some people who do, okay? There are certain checkpoints for a reason. You get timed for a reason. You know, you see the cuts. I had a friend of mine just run a marathon in Paris. You know, shout out to Patty if you're listening. She did well. She didn't win or anything like that. But listen, you just ran a marathon in Paris. How freaking impressive is that, you know? But, you know, they have these little timing bands on there. When you pass certain checkpoints, it registers. It registers. So you get, you know, it's like a swimmer getting lap times, you know? So she failed to register any times on the 26.2-mile route, and then a review of the previous year's marathon where she registered a third-place finish, that also revealed no image of her on the course. So they went back, they reviewed the recordings of last year's marathon, which made her qualify for this year's Boston Marathon, which I believe is being run next week. We're going to get into that in a minute. She cheated there too, and she came in third. Listen, if you're going to cheat, come in first. I'm just saying. But the name of the company that sponsored the event is called Go, and their representative, Nancy Lieberman, made a statement saying that it's a difficult situation for everybody, including the people who run a fair race and don't get the recognition they should receive. She apparently walked up to the Kendall and said, "It looks like you perpetrated a fraud." Now, again, you're obviously not the most talented runner out there. Okay, apparently some red flags went up when they noticed that her bib wasn't on right. She didn't have the there's apparently a little strip that records the time. Okay, that's what would register at the checkpoints. She had none of this, all right? She said she removed it. Why do you remove that? How do you remove that? Especially when, like, somebody who's serious about running, okay, they're going to keep that on there just so they can see what their times are and keep track of how well they're doing. Okay? Stop with the nonsense. So, she was told she would be disqualified unless she provided photos of herself on the course in 2014. Now, this is about the Boston Marathon. And apparently, the Boston Marathon officials removed her from the list of entrants because of the fact that no pictures could be provided of her running the St. Louis Marathon last year. So, good for the people that are organizing the Boston Marathon. Fuck you to Kendall. I mean, nice try, but just stop. Why? I don't get it. But speaking of the Boston Marathon, the, what's his name here? I forget the guy's name. Jesus Christ. The guy who was convicted, Zokar Sarnaev, has been convicted on 30 counts. And 17 of those counts can bring the death penalty to Mr. Sarnoff. Now, convicted on the 30 counts. Now, let's keep in mind, he killed an 8-year-old child and maimed his 7-year-old sibling. Okay? Not Sarnoff's, but the victim that died. These kids' parents have now come out and said they don't want him to get the death penalty. And they were quoted in a statement as saying, "We understand all too well the heinousness and brutality of the crimes committed. The defendant murdered our 8-year-old son, maimed our 7-year-old daughter, and stole part of our soul. We know that the government has its reasons for seeking the death penalty, but the continued pursuit of that punishment could bring years of appeals and prolong reliving the most painful day of our lives." Well, I could kind of understand what they're saying. Listen, when you're convicted on 30 counts, okay, not a single charge that he was brought up on was he found not guilty of. Okay? There should be no appeals process. There should be absolutely none. And I get it. You got to give him a chance and whatever. It's bullshit. Okay? 30 counts. Convicted on all of them. Death penalty for 17 of them. There should be no appeal. I really don't care what you say. Okay? This guy killed a kid, maimed another one, injured countless others. I don't remember what the exact death toll was, but no matter which way you cut it, this is some heinous shit. And now I understand what the parents are saying. I guess with him just being convicted, they have the closure that they need. And good for them. If this is what they need to move on, then good for them. They don't want to be questioned about it anymore and go through the pain of that day again. And I understand that, and I can appreciate that. Let me not say I understand that. I'm just going to go with I appreciate that. I haven't lost a child, and thank God for that. Let's see. They go on and they say that they want him to spend the rest of his life in prison without parole, without any right to an appeal. I agree with that. I mean, I personally would like to see him dead, but that's just me. As long as the defendant is in the spotlight, we have no choice but to live a story told on his terms, not ours. The minute the defendant fades from our newspapers and TV screens is the minute we begin the process of rebuilding our lives and our family. Well, there you go. You know, there you go. He's been convicted. This is kind of the start of the healing process for them. And for it to move on any further is only going to open up old wounds, and that's not what they want. I could respect that. I could respect that. Here we go. The actual death count. There was 3 people dead and 264 injured. Now, I remember this very vividly. I wasn't in Boston when it happened, but I was working here in New York, and I was dropping off a patient in a dialysis center at my other job, and come walking in, and one of the TVs that the patients were watching had this on, and I'm like, well, what the hell happened? And they started telling me, and I was like, holy crap, you know, and it was just, it was mayhem. you know. And, I mean, the one thing that did piss me off was people making the comparison to September 11th, 2001. This is our 9/11. No, it's not. September 11th happened to everybody in the country, okay? It wasn't just isolated in New York. Right? New York took the brunt of it, yes, but stop. Anybody who makes that reference, stop. You know, again, it was just some creepy, eerie shit. And just very nasty and whatever. It is what it is. Again, I understand what these people are saying, and I can completely appreciate that. By the way, the victim's parents' names are Bill and Denise Richard. Okay, those are the people that are saying they don't want the death penalty for this guy. While I understand why you don't want the death penalty, I personally feel that this individual should no longer live. Unless, of course, there's like some grand plan and maybe they know somebody on the inside that's going to take care of a problem for them, you know. I don't want to say I hope that's the case because that's a little rough, but, you know, if they don't push for the death penalty in this case, if he doesn't get it, I hope that somebody on the inside takes care of it. You know, some guy's going to be in there for life anyway, has nothing to lose, doesn't care, just, you know, makes a shiv out of some soap and just cuts him in the jugular. You know, kind of like, similar to the way Juice went down in Sons of Anarchy. And anybody bitching about it, hey, spoiler alert, I haven't seen it yet. You've had plenty of time. Stop. let's see. The jury came to, they took a little more than 11 hours to convict Sarnoff on all the charges. And they will now decide whether to sentence him to death. In the sentencing phase, the 7 women and 5 men of the jury will hear more testimony, vote for death, which must be unanimous. And that would see Sarnoff move to a federal facility in Indiana to eventually be executed. Massachusetts ruled capital punishment unconstitutional more than 3 decades ago. Finding the jury for the case took more than 2 months, partly because the 12 jurors and 6 alternates had to be death qualified, meaning they neither opposed nor in favor of the death penalty. You know, if the state has ruled the death penalty unconstitutional, why is it an option? Why is it an option? Stop your shit. Let's see, where are we now? Oh, what just happened there? All right, we're coming up on about 23 minutes. I'm going to touch on this one quickly because this kind of tweaked my tits a little bit. Apparently, here's the headline, and it's anything EMS related, I automatically kind of drawn to, obviously. Medics rush to help collapsed woman who turns out to be a pigeon. So apparently somebody in London decided to call 911 or whatever their version of 911 is, and they said that a bird collapsed. Now, the 911 operator took it as, well, they used the term bird for a woman, so they thought it was a woman who collapsed. All right, that's fair enough. So now they cause this big response. Oh, okay, in England it's 999 instead of 911. Okay, Hawkswell, who's the emergency planning manager in England, noted that the call handler sat on the phone giving life-saving advice until our paramedics arrived, thinking it was a human woman. The caller also told the dispatcher that the bird was 25 years old. So now this caller is obviously perpetrating a fraud. I like that term, by the way. I don't think it's used often enough. So, you know, how do you know a bird is 25 years old? Come on, stop your nonsense. Okay, so now you're intentionally what I like to call abusing the system. All right. Let's see. When senior paramedic Rachel Lack got to the scene, she said four people were gathered around the ailing pigeon. They were surprised to learn that the ambulance service is for humans, not animals. Seriously? Were they really surprised? Or were they really just that dumb? I got to vote with that dumb. I mean, because I have had experience with something similar to this a very long time ago. One of the call types here in New York is called the pedestrian struck, which it pretty much tells you exactly what it is. Somebody got hit by a car, you know, and it's usually a person. Well, it's 99.99999% of the time a person. In this one particular case, we got called for a pet, P-E-T, struck. Somebody's dog got hit by a car and they called 911. I don't know what to do for that. I'm not trained for that. I could help out a person, no problem. I could help out a person and go do it practically blindfolded at this point. Hell, I'm doing this almost 20 years. But why do you call for an animal? It goes on. Unfortunately, the staff did attempt to help the pigeon, and the bird did not make it. Because you don't know what to do. You're not equipped to handle that. Stop it. Bunch of fucking idiots. You're not trained to handle that shit. Leave it alone. Nothing you can do. But again, I mean, this is the mentality of people lately. You know, I mean, 911 calls are up tremendously. And they increase every year. Okay. Every year there's more and more. And let me not say that as a nationwide thing. I'm going to say it in New York because that's what I know. But it's people calling for stupid shit. You know, oh, there's a bird that collapsed. The fuck you want me to do? Pick it up, bring it to the vet. I'm not going to do it. Because, you know, technically, I can't bring an animal unless it's a service dog into my ambulance. Can't do it. OSHA regulations. Can't do it. What in God's name do you think I want to do for a bird? What in God's name do you think I want to do for a bird? It's a pigeon. Deal with it. All right. Well, enough of that rant. People are fucking retarded and most of them should be... Let me just leave it at that, I guess. You'll listen to That Awful Podcast, rantentertainmentmedia.com, morelikeradio.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few more topics. Let me see. Do I want to give you guys a preview? Yeah, you know, there was a cop who's just gotten himself into a little trouble because he let somebody get out of a ticket based on a game of rock, paper, scissor. And, a baggage handler falls asleep in a plane before it takes off. Oh, yeah. And he forgot to wake up before it took off. All that and more. That Awful Podcast coming right back after this.
Hey, everybody. Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effin' Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for The Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with The Rexplex, hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday, hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantemradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at rantemradio.com.
All right, welcome back. That awful podcast, rantentertainmentmedia.com, morelikeradio.com, every Monday. On More Like Radio, it's from 4 to 5 p.m. On Rant Entertainment Media, it's 7 to 8 p.m. That's rantemradio.com. So, one thing I forgot to mention before, and I might as well mention it now, is you know how everybody says like you shouldn't text and drive? I'm a big proponent of that, okay? I agree with it. Texting and driving is not a very good thing. But it never fails. It always seems like, you know, if you're on your way somewhere and you're running a little bit late, and, you know, if you're on a long trip, like, let's say, Connecticut, you're bound to hit some traffic, okay? Now, when I had left my house, I had checked the traffic, and the routes that I saw going through Jersey all contained traffic, and the routes in New York contained none. And I said, well, let me shoot through New York, even though Jersey's a little more convenient for me, and I'll go that route. Well, that was obviously the wrong decision. As I encountered some traffic, then my son tells me in the middle of the trip, I don't feel good. I had to stop so he could throw up into a bag. Good times. But I'm driving, and let's face it, 55 miles per hour is 50 miles per hour is the speed limit in New York. Nobody does 50. All right, so you're doing about 65, and all of a sudden I'm getting a text message. Why are you texting me? Stop it. Am I really going to answer a text message, number one, when I'm still not 100% sure where I'm going because I don't go there often enough, which may be the reason my brother's moving back to Chicago. But, you know, I really don't know where I'm going. So I got my GPS on. And then I have two small children sitting in the back seat. So why am I going to try to text and drive at the same time? That's just foolish. I mean, I got to be honest with you. If I were to do that and I got pulled over by a cop, I would deserve whatever the fucking cop gave me. Absolutely would deserve whatever the cop gave me. You know, nowadays I have a fairly new car. I think my car is a 2012 and it's got the Bluetooth in it and my phone's hooked up to it. Call me. I hit one button, I can talk to you, I can drive at the same time. No tickets. It's a beautiful thing. Now, what I'm going to start doing from now on, though, is I'm going to start challenging cops to play rock, paper, scissors to get out of tickets. So, this is coming out of Texas, where an alleged underage drinker apparently avoided a ticket by beating an officer in a game of rock, paper, scissors during a Texas musical festival. Well, how's about that? Why do you accept this challenge? You're an idiot, dude. This cop is We'll go back to my youth here and we'll quote Ren from Ren and Stimpy. You bloated idiot. I really can't do a very good Ren, so just, you know, bear with me there. let's see. In the video, the girl who allegedly been drinking won the game by throwing rock while the officer went with scissors. The crowd around the pair of competitors erupts with yells, and the girl looks relieved when she realizes she's won. Two other police officers were among the spectators. Really? Really? You know, at least one of those cops sat there and told the guy, you know, this isn't a good idea, right? You know, this is not going to end well for you. You know that. At least I would hope one of them did. I mean, it seems like a I don't know, man. You know, I don't get it. I don't get it. Why would you let yourself be put in this situation? People need to be cognizant of the fact that everywhere you go, somebody has a video camera. It's all on our phones now. Even the phones people get from Obama have video cameras on them. Okay, the Obama phones have video cameras on them. Stop. People record everything. Everything. Especially when they see a cop walk up to a woman, all right, and they're going to start with the whole, you know, well, you know, right away, she's drunk. They're going to try to take advantage of her, you know. Not always the case, obviously. Not always the case. But camera phones are on at that point. They're watching you. All right, there was a song in the 80s about that. I always feel like somebody's watching me. It's the truth. Burleson County Precinct 2 Constable Dennis Gass wouldn't name the three officers nor what agencies employ them, but he told KBTX that they're barred from working next year's Country Music Chili Fest in Snook, Texas. Well, that shows them. I've seen the video and can only say this is an unacceptable and unprofessional conduct by these officers. Officers are given the choice of giving a warning or issuing a citation for any violation they encounter during this event. Playing a game to see if a citation or warning is given does not fall under professional conduct. All officers were instructed during the orientation to present a professional appearance and attitude. So, you're given the option, cite them, warn them, whichever you want to do. So, technically, you didn't say they can't play rock, paper, scissors to make the decision. I mean, I actually just downloaded a Magic 8-Ball app on my phone. I could have tried that. That might have worked. Maybe it would have worked out a little bit better for you. You know, you say, hold on a second, let me consult my phone. Shake it real quick. Should I give them a ticket? Should I give them a ticket? All signs point to yes. All right. Getting a ticket. Rock, paper, scissors. That's got to be that's definitely a new for me. I can't imagine. I mean, if you guys have heard of anything like this, then please let me know. But until this, I've never heard of it, but all right, so let's leave Texas, shoot up to the northwest a little bit. We'll go to Seattle, where a baggage handler decided to take a little nappy poo inside the cargo hold of an Alaska Airlines jetliner, and then it took off. So while he was up in the air, he woke up, and he called 911. To say that he couldn't get out and needed someone to stop the plane. Let's see, according to the part of the transcript of the recording, it says, I'm inside a plane and I feel like it's moving in the air. Flight 448. Can you please have somebody stop it? The 911 dispatcher apparently was a little confused, and understandably so. Not exactly a call you get on a daily basis. So, apparently, the dispatcher sat there and said, you're where? Where are you in the plane? And then the worker repeated his request, and the dispatcher asked him, are you at the airport? And then the sleepy here decided to try to tell them one more time and then just got pissed off and hung up. you can't blame the 911 operator. Because, let's face it, you get a call like that, right away you think it's somebody playing a game. You think it's somebody playing a game. Who's really going to call me from the cargo hold of a plane? Especially a plane that went up in the air. Well, apparently this douchebag decided to do that. They haven't released his name, at least not as of the printing of this article, or it's not in this article. But apparently the employee of Menzies Aviation, which contracts with the airlines to handle baggage, banged on the roof of the cargo hold, and the pilot heard it and said, oh, I got to turn this plane around. And they went back to Seattle as they were on their way to Los Angeles. So now, they were only 15 minutes into the flight. So, you know, tray tables were still upright, seat belts were still fastened. Now they have to come back down just so they can get this dude out of the plane. And now they have to go through all their pre-flight inspections again, all this. So this dude delays this pretty badly. This is pure stupidity. This isn't even funny. Like, you know, the guy who made a plane turn around by taking a shit. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. But the FAA, Alaska Airlines, and Menzies Aviation are apparently now investigating the incident. What's there to investigate? What is there to investigate? Pilot heard something. There's a 911 recording of somebody saying, I'm stuck in the cargo hold of a plane. You landed the plane. Dude got out of the cargo hold. All signs point to this dude was in the cargo hold. Investigation. For what? Waste of goddamn time. That's what. The airline has said the leader of the baggage loading crew noticed the worker was missing and tried to call and text him before concluding he had gone home at the end of his shift. So the leader of this guy's group thought he went home. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, there you go. They have declined to release the worker's name, but they said he has worked for the company for 18 months and was fortunate he was trapped in a part of the plane that was pressurized and temperature controlled. The company says its policies were knowingly violated by an experienced employee who hid in the hold to take a nap. So right there, that's last line right there basically tells you that, you know, this is not going to end well for this dude. Okay? How do you fall asleep in a cargo hold? I mean, I can't imagine it takes that long to load luggage onto a plane. So, you know, I mean, how you wind up going in there and say, oh, I'm just going to take a quick nap and, you know, let somebody else do all the work, and then I'll wake up and I'll be off the plane before it takes off. What thought process? I mean, I have no idea what to say. It makes absolutely zero sense to me. It makes zero sense to me. I mean, maybe if he were to hide in one of the luggage carts, I could see that. I could see that. Sorry, my throat was getting a little dry. I could absolutely see that. But why would you go into the cargo hold of a plane? I don't get it. I'm sorry, guys. Just bear with me 1 second here. My computer apparently is now freezing on me and won't let me look at the next article I had pulled up for you guys, which it actually seemed a little cool to me, where what they do in Switzerland to celebrate spring. And what in the actual fuck is going on here? This is making me a little bit angry. I apologize for this little technical difficulty. But, oh, look at that. It's 10:25 on Saturday night, and I got the news on mute here. Driver straps 4 puppies to roof of car. Fantastic. I love that action. That's ridiculous. People are amazing to me. Never cease to amaze me either. That's the truly sad part in all of this. Somehow, some way, people get dumber, and I just look at them and say, what the fuck? All right, so where was this one? Here it is. When in doubt, go to your backup, which is my phone. Okay. So, let me open it up with this. Again, guys, I do apologize for the delay, but my computer's just shit right now. So, in Switzerland, to celebrate the... Oh, it happens on the third Monday of April. People in Switzerland burn snowmen. They burn snowmen. Kind of like an effigy kind of thing. The citizens of the Swiss city hold Sechselauten. Tried to put on a Swiss accent. Don't know if it was good enough. Don't know if I said that right. Whatever. Sechselauten. That's the name of the festival, apparently. It's sort of like Groundhog Day. The event climaxes when a figure of a snowman is filled with explosives and lit on fire to celebrate the end of winter. Wow. I gotta be honest with you, that sounds kind of cool. I mean, just little snowman shrapnel all over the place. According to the tradition, if the snowman's head explodes within 12 minutes, the summer will be warm and sunny. On Monday, the snowman needed 20 minutes and 39 seconds to go kablooey, according to Huffington Post here, so the summer could be cold and gray. Well, I mean, I don't understand why it would take that long for frozen water to melt, but you know, I mean, it seems cool. I mean, it's something I'd like to witness in real life, just because I want to see a snowman blow up. You know, they frown upon doing that here in the city. I mean, I'm sure you could do it, and again, nowadays somebody rat you out, or again, camera phones will probably be the undoing of this whole plan. But go away. Stop it. Sorry, my computer's still giving me a little bit of an issue here. I'm trying to get this all in before the wifey gets home. I wouldn't mind seeing a snowman explode. That would be kind of fun and amusing. At least, you know, I think, anyway. Set it on fire, see what happens. Wait for the big boom. Nice. You know, fun for the whole family. You know? Speaking of families, apparently, there is a restaurant, and I'm trying to see where it is exactly. It's in Canada, eh? So it's in Nova Scotia. And they apparently got annoyed with customers bringing their small screaming children, that's in quotes, in to dine. We're an adult-themed restaurant that caters to those who enjoy food, read their Facebook post that has since been deleted. So, adult-themed restaurant that for people who enjoy food. So, what you're saying to me right now is, as a father, I'm not allowed to enjoy food, right? I have to go to a... Stop parent-shaming me. Child-shaming me, whatever shaming you want to call it. That's the big thing now. Everything is shaming. Fat-shaming, skinny-shaming, shaming-shaming. It's all fucking ridiculous. You know, I mean, I got to say, I'm lucky enough that I don't have these issues with my kids. All right, they don't act that way in restaurants. If they do, I'm the type of parent that will walk out. Okay? Grab my kids, walk out, and punish them properly when I get home. Okay? I don't want to... Because it always annoyed me when there was like a parent in a restaurant before I was a parent and that wouldn't handle their children. Okay? At least... Yeah, I have to at least make it look like you're trying to handle your kid. Okay, and I do give that, is what I'm trying to say. I do that in the restaurant. I try to handle my kids. They know that once I reach a certain point, it's now or never. You either act right or we're going the fuck home. And when we go home, you are not touching a single toy. You're not touching your tablet. Get your ass up to your room. Don't say another word, and don't come down until I see you in the morning. Basically, you know, it's bedtime. I haven't really had to instill that, though, so that's a good thing. But according to this, the restaurant's name is the Lobster Pound and More. M-O-O-R-E. Those silly Canadians. it says, effective as of now, we will no longer allow small screaming children. We are an adult-themed restaurant that caters to those who enjoy food and are out to enjoy themselves. We understand this may upset some, but after careful consideration, we feel it's best for those who enjoy, appreciate, and understand our business. Pardon me. Really? Seriously? You know, don't be douchey. Again, this is like similar to the Religious Freedom Act. Okay? Stop. When you do something like this, you wind up driving more people away than bringing more people in. Okay? There are more people who have children than don't. And why you would want to try to isolate a big part of your business makes zero sense to me. I mean, yes, it sucks having to deal with crying, screaming kids and parents who don't want a parent, you know, and they sit there and they're like, oh, could you please stop? No, you're not their friend. You're their parent. Knock it off. Okay? That's what these new age parents need to understand. Yeah, they can't be their friend, okay? You can at times, but when you start acting like this, nonsense time is over. Stop your shit. Handle your business. Be a parent. Okay? apparently, they got a lot of social media backlash on this, where some people, I'll read a couple of the quotes from people. After seeing the way you posted about children, I assure you I won't go to your establishment, and I don't have any small kids. There is a way to go about things, and the way that was worded was terrible. Where is the professionalism? See? Now you've even started. Now you even started isolating the people that you want to bring in. This person apparently has small kids based on their picture. Based on the recent policy change of not allowing small screaming children, I give this restaurant a 1 star. It was tactless, rude, and childish. Facebook post. Now, here's my thing. They are not allowing small screaming children. So, if I bring my small children to the restaurant and they're not screaming, I should be allowed in. Without a problem. Right? Just saying. You know. Putting it out there. Could happen. Another post. After the post I have just seen from your restaurant in regards to small screaming kids, I would never ever think of stepping foot inside your doors, and I don't have screaming kids. Disgusting, shame on you. See? You pissed off a lot of people. Then you have people who did support it, and obviously, but you know what? Some of these people are actually saying exactly what I said. This guy, Barry, right here. Nice guy. Looks like a nice guy. Looks like a hard ass too, but all right. Come on, parents. Keep your kids under control. Some folks just let them run wild. I don't want to be eating in a restaurant with a rowdy gang of kids ruining the outing for everyone else. Teach them some manners. I can't disagree with that. I cannot disagree with that at all. The restaurant went out and issued an apology saying, I love kids and I would have them if I could. I shouldn't have used the word screaming, but should have said something like, little diners having a moment. We will take any belly that is hungry, the note continued. And then it just finishes up. I never considered the hate and threats it would bring against not only me, but those I love. And for that, I'm truly sorry. Good job. Good job. Hope that all works out for you. But here we are, coming to the end of another show. Again, I want to thank all you guys for listening. More Like Radio, rantem.com. Real quick, don't forget to check out all the great shows on both networks. On Rant, you have Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Wrestling Call-In Show, Freaks and Effing Geeks, which is on a little bit later on Monday night after me. Basically, the way they want it, it's me. Then you take a break to watch a Monday Night Raw, and then Freaks and Effing Geeks after that. And then on More Like Radio, you got Dutch and Royce, Hippo Juice, The Sully Show, High Society Radio, Brain Stew is coming back. They don't have a set date and time yet. They're just going to be kind of throwing podcasts up there as they can. But watch out for them. They're doing regular Brain Stew. And they're also going to do the Brain Stew Wrestling podcast, which I promise you was going to not include Joe Coletta because he does not like the wrestling whatsoever. Check out the Cousin Joe show, Joe Coletta, support him. And just go to the network, go to the downloads areas, and just support all the shows, man. I don't associate with shit networks. My show may be the shittiest, but at least I know I'm on a good network. I'm on good networks. All right. Thanks again for listening, everybody. That awful podcast. Have a great one. See you soon.